This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, a very good morning to you. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Philip C with Wong Xiaoning. It's 7:06 on Tuesday, the 16th of August. In half an hour, we'll be speaking to Michael Frank, Senior Analyst of Public Policy of Economist Impact, on the weight of zero COVID policy on Hong Kong's economy. But first, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
It's a tale of two halves, literally, because the US had another stellar day. The Dow was up 0.5%, S&P 500 up 0.4%. And Nasdaq was up 0.6%. Meanwhile, in Asia, every market was in the red. Hang Seng down 0.7%. Shanghai was down by 0.02%. Straits Times Index in Singapore down by 0.4%. And our very own FBM KLCI was down 0.1%. Only the Nikkei was up 1.1%.
Clearly, Asia not taking its cue from the US. But the question here is this upward trend for keeps? For more on this, we have with us Joel Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist for the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. A very good morning to you, Joel. Markets are just coming off a fourth straight weekly gain, the longest run this year. But should we chase this rally?
Be careful because we're not done. There's some choppiness out there here in the U.S., of course, China and Europe. So we've had a very good six-week run after a very horrific first half. So September's usually seasonally weak. So I would be a buyer on weakness in the next couple of weeks because I do think there's a fourth quarter rally coming as we get closer to the Fed tightening cycle ending or peaking.
Okay, how should we position for this rally, Joel? What should we buy?
You know, think of a barbell strategy. So you want to own technology, mega cap tech on the one hand, good earnings. They've had a nice bounce. The Nasdaq's, you know, entering a new bull market. But then also barbell own energy, agriculture. You know, food is still, prices are still rising. Metals, minerals, nuclear, anything to that effect as well, because the electrical vehicle revolution, solar, wind. So on the intangible assets, big tech, and the hard assets in terms of the fossil fuels and the metals and the minerals.
And Joe, I want to pick your brain, right? Because I have been struggling with this, and maybe you can help shed some light on it, on this. Are we actually in the oddest recession that you've ever encountered? Because you've got, you know, a strong job market. Consumers seem to be okay. Manufacturing, a bit of a dip there. But yet we have this, you know, two quarters of negative growth and the Fed warning that inflation is painful. What do you make of this so-called recession?
Well, it's not you. I think it's the economists or the economy because it is odd. It is strange. Technically, we're in a recession, right? I mean, two-quarter decline back to back. But the job market is still very robust, 3.5% unemployment. The consumers are hanging in there. Albeit, they're starting to weaken a little bit here. The CPI was better, but rents, food, they're still rising. Gasoline came off a little bit. So it is very odd, and I do think we're in recession. But I do think what all the numbers suggest, that's going to be shallow recession, and it'll be short-lived. And that's why I think the markets are trading off. Yes, recession, but shallow and short-lived, and then we begin again.
And just building on your point about the U.S. consumer showing some signs of weakness, how does that translate to the big retail players like Home Depot, Target and Walmart? Because they're due to report earnings very soon, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And no one really knows because the variable there is the inventory. So there's been a lot of backup in inventory. Stores, retailers are sitting on a lot of stuff that no one wants, and they want it at a discount. So it's all about that inventory management. That's going to be key. I do think the retailers, they'll see good back-to-school sales, Christmas sales. The supply is there. So I really think the consumer will be out there spending. But the key is they'll be spending, but they're going to be using more credit cards. And that's something that we've got to watch. Draw down the savings. Incomes, real incomes, are not keeping up with inflation. So I think they're going to reach into the credit cards and use them more to keep spending at a decent pace. And not robust, but decent.
And related to this somewhat is the property market, right? Can you give us your views on it, Joe? Because the interest rate, of course, has been going up. Has that affected sales? Does it look a little bit too toppish?
For sure. And the U.S. home market has rolled over. I mean, even a lot of economists are saying we're in a housing recession. Because it has come down. We have almost a doubling in mortgage interest rates in the last, say, the first half of this year. That's certainly slowed down. But that's good in the sense because there was too much demand, not enough supply. now you'll start to see more equilibrium. But the housing market for sure has rolled over. And but remember, you know, this is a big economy. U.S. is $24 trillion. There's multiple industries. They're all going at different paces, different levels. If the housing goes into recession, it doesn't mean the whole economy comes down with it further or harder. It just means that that part is weak. But, you know, mortgage rates already are starting to come down, so that could help boost maybe later on, early spring of 23, a rebound in housing.
And so, Joe, then my perspective is, you know, we in Asia here, we are seeing this huge recovery and rebound, right? Just Malaysia just issued its Q2 print last Friday. Are we going to see that same trend that what the US is experiencing in Asia, where we are now hitting that peak, but we will see it slow down substantially in the coming quarters in Asia?
You know, I mean, maybe, I mean, it's hard. Asia's a tough call in general because Japan, Malaysia are growing, but China is not. China's basically flatlining. The July numbers you saw are very weak across the board. I think Asia hits its stride, gets more of a reflation kick when China gets its, you know, kind of gets its act together when it comes to reflating as well. They cut interest rates, but I don't think that's going to do much for near-term growth. So Asia is, you know, needs to see the service side come back, more travel and leisure kick in. Domestic demand is kicking in as well. So it's starting. The engines have started. You're like first or second gear. You're in much better shape than a year ago. But to get that full-blown kind of recovery that we've seen in the Mediterranean countries, right, Spain, Italy, Greece, they're growing because of that service side, tourism kicking in. That's what you need as well to kick in. And you need China to stop flatlining and start to grow again, and they're not.
Okay, one asset class or one commodity that's really caught my eye this morning is WTI. It's below $89 a barrel. What do you make of it? I mean, is there more downside to go? Because not too long ago, we were talking about $150 a barrel.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of those folks that made that call, you know, are kind of like, I think they're on vacation now in that sense. They're kind of out of the office. But, you know, even at, say, $90 or $85, the energy companies do make a good, you know, they're making a good earnings. The biggest issue coming in energy is really in and around Europe, in the natural gas, oil, refined products, and so forth. I think there's a pretty good bid. You know, if we stay between $80, $90, $100, the energy sector continues to produce very robust earnings. So I know they've had a rough go lately because we've kind of flipped over to growth, given up a little bit on the commodities. But I think they're going to be earnings upside surprises as we go deeper into this the fourth quarter into next year, and good dividend payers as well. We've got a lot of folks in energy and are very happy being in energy.
Thanks a lot, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. I think saying that there's really still a bit more upside for, I think, the oil and gas counters moving forward. You're right, you know, Xiaoning, we're seeing a bit of a downward pressure on Brent crude. Perhaps it's a sign of weaker demand. But as we enter into winter, we expect this to go up quite a bit.
For sure. But there's also news that Iran might actually participate in the oil market again if sanctions are removed. So it's a bit of that demand being eroded because of the slowdown in China, but potentially there might be better supply. But let's talk about China, because we can't ignore the world's second largest economy, right? So their retail sales and factory output edged up in July, but actually were well below expectations, no thanks to the real estate slump and COVID controls that dragged down growth. So retail sales, which only just returned to growth in June, grew by 2.7% in July from a year ago, down from a growth of 3.1% in June, and well below the analyst expectations of 5%.
So this is also just building on what Joe's comments were about our growth in this part of the region in Asia, Pac and Japan. You know, we moved first and second gear, but to be able to move to the full gear, you really need China to also rebound and reopen, isn't it? And he drew the very nice analogy with the likes of countries in the Mediterranean, like Spain and Portugal, where they really were seeing very much robust growth because of the growth in services sector. Mm. And so I guess in this part of the world, like especially in Malaysia, Thailand, where we're kind of dependent a lot on Chinese-related services, especially on the tourism side, that reopening piece could enable us to build momentum going forward if it does take place.
Yes. And then if we look specifically at China itself, and then this is a trend I want to highlight, is that the Chinese consumer has actually been trying to save much more money than spend. And we do know that global growth has been very much driven by leverage, right? Because ultra-low interest rates have meant that everyone has been a bit more risk-on, taking an approach in whether to buy a house, buy a car, consume, buy these designer goods, go for holidays, very much China's story. But now, because of the slowdown, they've been holding back, right? Because they're not sure what the outlook is going to be like. So that's, I think, something to pay attention to. Sentiment also is a little bit softer in China. So the People's Bank of China Income Confidence Index is actually down this year quite significantly.
Yeah, I think this is also the point that, you know, in the past, China used to be very well known for its very high savings rates. And as I remember, the Chinese economy tried to pivot away from just being a trading and exporting nation, but also be driven by consumption. Then it tried to improve its loans to deposit ratio. But if you see this point, right, where we're shifting from risk on to risk off, then you see this downward pressure there.
Yeah, there was also an article in the Financial Times over the weekend, which I don't know whether anybody noted. Apparently, luxury watch piece prices half as wealthy Chinese sell collections to stay afloat. So whether it's your Rolex, your Patek Philippe, your Hermes Birkins, prices have actually come down. People are saying, I don't need this good so much. I want to keep cash.
Well, interesting, right? And I think looking at another statistic that came through was the unemployment statistics, right? Overall unemployment rate in the cities fell to 5.4%. But if you look among China's youth, aged 16 to 24, 19.9%.
I'm very worried about this data, actually. This is very beginning to be, if it's a trend, it's a very worrying trend.
Very worrying trend. We will have more on this. We cover it throughout the weeks ahead. Up next, we'll be speaking to Anthony Lee, president of the Persatuan Insurance Arm Malaysia, on automatic compensation for road victims. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.